Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nations.
Good morning, Last Adam Tabernacle. My name is Mark Wamai, and I'm privileged to be sharing with you the Word of God once again. I thank Pastor Moses for giving me this opportunity. I don't take it for granted. Before Bruce and Esther lead us in our worship session today, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for you are good and you are faithful. Your word is true. Your word is everlasting. Your word is unchanging. Your word says in Isaiah that as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return, but it waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud and give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, this very word shall not return to you void. It shall fulfill that which you have purposed it shall fulfill in our lives. Lord, we thank you. For your word is true, and your word shall prosper in our lives, and it shall do that very thing which you have purposed that it should do in our lives. We thank you, Father. We give you praise, glory, and adoration. For you alone are worthy to be praised and adored. Amen and amen. Over to Bruce and Esther. Please lead us.
As we worship you, let all the world come and see how the mercy we receive from you can set them free. As we worship you, let all this joy that fills our hearts bring a hunger and a hope to those who strayed so far. As we bow in adoration and stand in reverent awe, show your majesty and glory, let your anointing fall. As we declare your name, Lord Jesus, as the only name who saves, may the power of your salvation fill each heart, we pray. Worship you. Let all the nations hear our song. Song of Jesus and his blood approved his love for all. As we worship you, may all the lost and broken come. May they hear your still small voice call out their names each one. As we bow in adoration and stand in reverent awe, show your majesty and glory, let your anointing fall. As we declare your name, Lord Jesus, as the only name who saves, may the power of your salvation just fill each heart, we pray.
As we worship you,
as we worship you,
Father, we worship
as we worship you. As we worship. As we bow in adoration and stand in reverent awe, show your majesty and glory, let your anointing fall. As we declare your name, Lord Jesus, as the only name who saves, may the power of your salvation just fill each heart, we pray.
Be
heaven. Be glorified in the heavens. Be glorified in the earth. Be glorified in this temple, Lord.
Jesus.
Oh.
Hallelujah to your name. We sing glory to your name. We sing praise and adoration to your awesome name. Thank you, Lord, for you are faithful and you are true. For your name is great. And we shall lift your name up in these trying times. We shall lift your name up even in our moments of joy. We shall lift your name and your name only up. For your name is great. And it is exalted above every name in heaven, on earth, and below the earth. We give you praise, glory, and adoration. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Amen and amen. Thank you, Bruce and Esther, for that wonderful, refreshing session. May God bless you. May God help you to remain faithful to that gift that you have. May you serve Him and Him alone. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. You're welcome to our service today. And of course, before we start, we once again stand with all those who have lost their loved ones to the coronavirus and any other disease. May God strengthen you. We commit you to His hand. We commit you to His loving care. May your faith not be shaken in this time, and may you be strengthened by the reassurance that is in His word. We also pray for those who are sick or who have been sick. May God touch you and may your healing come. Amen. Thank you all for joining me this morning. Last week, we shared about walking in obedience. And I'll just give a brief recap before we go into today's sharing. We defined obedience as submitting yourself to another's authority. And this authority was either the authority of God, the church, your pastor, the government, if you're married, then your wife, your husband, if you're a child, your parents, and if you're in school or you're a student, your teachers. Biblically, we looked at obedience as reading what the Word of God says and doing it. We also shared about what happens when we walk in obedience. The first thing we talked about was when we walk in obedience, we get closer to God. We read from John chapter 10, verse 27, which says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." We also looked at Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, the example of Enoch, who walked with God until he was not, for God took him. The second example we looked at was when we walk in obedience, God blesses us. And remember, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 says, "Those who meditate in that word day and night make their own way prosperous." The third thing we shared was that when we walk in obedience, it proves our love for God. We cannot claim to love the Lord if we do not walk in what His word says. The fourth thing we looked at is that when we walk in obedience, we turn men and rulers to God. Here we went to the book of Daniel, and specifically we looked at the example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how their testimony that they would not bow down to any other image but the God of heaven glorified God, and indeed it caused the mighty Nebuchadnezzar to decree that only the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego should be worshipped. The fifth and final example we looked at, and probably the most important, was that when we walk in obedience, we inherit eternal life. As Christians, we must walk in obedience until our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ returns. Today, we want to continue talking about walking in obedience, and particularly that our obedience will be tested. When we walk in obedience, we will be tested. We shall discuss this using examples of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and finally, Jesus Christ our Lord. Our first example is taken from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. Herein, we see Abraham receiving a command from God, which is followed by a blessing. It reads, "Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing." How many of us would obey this command today? Imagine you're being told to leave the comfortable confines of Ntinda where you stay and go to a land which the Lord will show you. But Abram obeyed. He obeyed the Lord, but as soon as he obeyed, the test started. The first test we see that Abraham was faced with was famine in the very promised land which the Lord had promised to give him. If we go down to verse 10 of the same chapter, it reads, "Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land." It was not only famine, but the Bible goes on to say that the famine was severe. The second test that Abraham faced, we see in the same chapter, is that he risked losing his life for his wife Sarai's sake. The Bible says that she was very beautiful and she had a beautiful countenance. Verse 12 says, "Therefore," this is Abram talking to Sarai. He says, "Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me, but they will let you live." Abraham in the promised land was faced with famine. He flees to a place, but even the place of refuge that he has fled to, he is faced with death for the sake of his own beautiful wife. The third test he faced was that he was childless. In Genesis chapter 15 verses 1 to 2, it reads, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward.' But Abram said, 'Lord God, what will you give me, seeing as I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?'" We shall skip verse 3 and go on to verse 4. And it says, "And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'This one," which one? "Eliezer of Damascus, shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your body shall be your heir.' And Abram obeyed the Lord, and he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness." God accounted Abram's obedience for righteousness. But this word, too, would test Abraham. Abram had to wait 15 years for this promise to come to pass. Genesis chapter 21 verse 5 says, "Now Abram was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him." The word of the Lord, the very promise of God, tested Abram for 15 years. Remember, we are talking about our obedience will be tested. The second example I want to share with us this morning is Isaac, Abraham's son. Genesis chapter 26 verse 1 to 3 says, "There was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of Philistines in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, 'Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father.'" In verse 7, it says, "And the men of the place asked about his wife, and he said, 'She is my sister.' For he was afraid to say, 'She is my wife,' because he thought, 'Lest the men of the place kill me for Rebekah, because she is beautiful to behold.'" Isaac obeyed God and stayed in the land of the Philistines in Gerar. Lo and behold, the same pattern. a command from God, a promise. Soon after the promise, the tests start. The same test his father faced, the same test he faced. Our obedience to the Lord will be tested. Isaac faced famine. He feared he would be killed for Rebekah's beauty. But the Lord was faithful to Isaac. If you go on to read, in verses 12 it says, then Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The Lord rewarded Isaac's obedience with 100-fold blessing. May this be your portion. And just like the same test that his father faced, his wife Rebekah was barren. In Genesis chapter 25, verses 20 to 21 and verse 26, we see that when Isaac married Rebekah, he was 40 years old and she was barren. He had to plead to the Lord for her to conceive. But by the time Rebekah conceived and gave birth, verse 26 says he was 60 years old. The promise was fulfilled 20 years later. Obedience will be tested. The third example I want us to look at today is Jacob. Genesis chapter 28 verses 1 to 2 says, then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. If you read on, you'll see that, however, it was not all well. Jacob's obedience to his father was tested. It was severely tested. His very own uncle was the cause of his test, or was the implementer of the test. Genesis chapter 31, verse 6 to 7 reads, and you know that with all my might I have served your father. Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God did not allow him to hurt me. Here was Jacob obeying his father Isaac and going to take a wife from his uncle's place. But the very uncle whose daughter he was to marry changed his wages 10 times. Can you imagine that test? Your salary gets changed 10 times. But because Jacob was obedient, he was rewarded. If you go on to read Genesis chapter 31, it says, by the time Jacob left, he was even wealthier than the very person who cheated him, Laban. The fourth example we shall look at is Jesus, our Lord and Savior. There are so many accounts of obedience by the Lord and how his obedience to God was tested. But the example I want to share with you is the account of Satan tempting Jesus. And that's from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 10. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 10. It reads, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in your hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Verse 8, again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Verse 10, then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Brothers and sisters, there are so many examples beyond those shared this morning that show you that obedience will be tested. All these tests are meant to purify us so that when we come to our promised land, we do not falter. Our first example of Jesus shows us the best way to pass all tests as we walk in obedience to God's word. And that is by hiding his word in our hearts, such that we will have an answer to every temptation that the enemy and his agents will throw at us. Remember, he promised in his word never to leave us nor forsake us. We too should remain obedient to his word no matter the test. God bless you as you continue walking in obedience. Amen and amen.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the Nations.